Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
Right now, I want to get to my guest. He is Missouri Representative Dean Plocker, District 89, also a member of the state legislature and getting ready to go back into session in January. Dean, thanks for joining us this morning.
Mark, thanks for having me on. It's great to be on your morning show.
Well, I appreciate you giving us some time this morning. You know, this caught my attention the other day because right at the end of the legislative session last year, there was a discussion, I don't think it ever got into a vote, but there was a discussion about trying to impact clean Missouri, particularly dealing with redistricting. What can you tell me about that, and do you think there's any chance that's going to gain any ground this time around?
Well, you know, I filed this legislation. It's really a House Joint Resolution. I filed last year's House Joint Resolution 48. And it addresses some concerns that I have with clean Missouri. Your listeners, I'm sure, recall a few years back, a constitutional amendment was put into place with Amendment 1 that affects numerous aspects of redistricting as well as some other ethical components of our Constitution. And our Amendment 1 was offered up as a gift ban. And there were many other flaws that were not really properly articulated in my mind to the voters. I don't know if the voters had it explained what Amendment 1 really was. It wasn't a gift ban. They still allow gifts. And it deals comprehensively with redistricting reform that I think puts things out of whack. I think it gives political parties greater interest in how things can be redrawn above individual choices and putting communities first, which I argue should be the most important component of it.
Well, I hate that got lost. I mean, I preached it over and over and over again on the airwaves here at this radio station. Unfortunately, there's still a few people left in St. Louis who don't listen to this radio station. We're working on that all the time. But what they did in effect statewide is go out and pass this thing which is going to hand future redistricting over to the state auditor. And she's, at this point, she, Nicole Galloway, would appoint a demographer, supposedly somebody who's in the middle of the road, to decide who you know, what the district line should be around your town, right?
That's correct. And, you know, having one partisan politician appoint the redistricting czar is not bipartisan in my mind. I would rather have a bipartisan committee or commission draw those lines, as is in place now, where 70% of those people, Republicans and Democrats, have to sit down and work out what those lines particularly should be. I think it's in the community's best interest to do that. In my legislation, H.R. 48, put into line a repriority of what should, I believe, be most important, and that is the Voting Rights Act of, I believe, 1965, keeping communities together and not putting this partisan interest ahead of anybody else. They wanted to put in place the idea that competitiveness for districts should be the most important factor in redrawing districts.
Oh, come on.
Which really props up these political parties. I mean, I may be a Republican, but my Republican Party does not need to be put ahead of any individual choices that citizens have when they go to the voting booth. So, you know, you were a great asset last year. I know we fought many battles, seemingly the flawed thinking of the city-county merger with a statewide vote.
Yes.
You know, we got that through the House with overwhelming support, I believe 143 votes. This legislation, H.R. 48, intending to correct another flawed component of redistricting, passed through the House with 104 votes. So we're doing our job on the House end. I think it comes down to what the Senate can stomach. And this year is a great year to do it. And the reason it is so important this year is because of the decennial census that will be conducted in 2020. And the numbers that are derived from that census then will be put into place on how we redraw the districts for the 163 state reps and 34 state senators.
Yeah, well, thank you for pointing that out. And I just want to explain again for my listeners, because I don't think we can say this enough. The language in Clean Missouri calls for fairness in these districts. Now, that's a word that sets off alarm bells in my head, because I heard it for so many years when Barack Obama was president of the United States. If he didn't like something that he thinks wasn't benefit to Democrats, he would tell us this isn't fair. When you hear the word fairness, when they call for a more of a 50-50 district, I think to myself, you're going to have to draw something that looks like a dog's hind leg, which in other instances they would refer to as gerrymandering, to try to get a district that's got 50% Republicans and 50% Democrats in it. I don't know how you get around. I don't know where you get to the point of calling that fair, because suddenly I'm not represented necessarily by somebody that lives in my immediate area. I might be represented by somebody that lives 35 miles away.
Well, what you bring up, Mark, is absolutely right. I mean, it should be common sense awareness when you put this, quote, fairness component first on how you're going to have to redraw these districts. Right now, we have a standard of compact and contiguous, albeit it's never going to be a perfect solution on how you draw a perfect square or a perfect circle, whatever it could be, when you redraw your districts in Missouri. But the goal should be to keep communities together, to protect communities of interest so that all parties have voices for them in Jefferson City. We're all answerable to our voters. And as I travel around the state and as I walk around my community, I think my community certainly wants to be kept reasonably together, not strung out in a narrow line. And rural Missouri wants that too. They want to have their voices out there as well. I would think urban Missouri should want that as well.
Right.
So, or you know, listen to what the choices could be and why the priorities were put in place. The interests that promoted Amendment 1 were generally outstate interests that were funding it, which is another component we don't need to get into, perhaps. But the constitutional amendment that was put into place with a mere 50% plus one of the vote. But the money came from New York and Texas. And we're talking big money. These are billionaires that are trying to influence Missouri politics, and they don't live in Missouri. I think Missourians should decide for themselves. I think another thing that is very important in this, I'm not trying to undo the will of the voters. The voters overwhelmingly supported Amendment 1 at the ballot box. However, they weren't given a choice. And this legislation that I filed last year would give the voters a choice. And I think the voters need to have that choice to have effective government, really.
So it would go back on the ballot? Is that what you're asking?
Well, we haven't filed it yet, as you pointed out moments ago in your show. December 1st or December 2nd was the first day of filing, pre-filing bills. We go back into session on January the 8th, and the last day to file bills will be March the 1st. So sometime between now and March the 1st, I would hope that we can work. We're continuing to work through this process to try to make it more bipartisan, to bring more people to the table. So that we can file some good legislation. And then, yes, it would have to be put on the ballot.
Well, and always worth pointing out, as somebody told me one time, Missouri had one of the fairest bipartisan commissions in the country when it came to redistricting already in place. This scraps that and makes it more of a partisan discussion than it ever was before. Correct?
I believe you're correct there. I argue the reason why this was done was because one political party wasn't seeing the results that they wanted to see at the ballot box.
Right.
And rather than try to implement policies that would be beneficial for Missourians, they're trying to implement policies that would change the result of the voting population.
Yeah, it's a great point. Thank you for making that one. In fact, we're talking to State Representative Dean Plocker here from District 89. Dean, you brought this up, and it's something I wanted to talk about anyway. Let's talk about the standard that you have to meet to change the Missouri Constitution. If you have enough money in this state, you can get something on the ballot to either alter the Constitution or to change the law in the state of Missouri. My argument is, if you want to alter the Constitution, you should have to meet a higher standard. I'm fine if it's the will of the people, but you better get a supermajority of the will of the people to amend the Missouri Constitution. Why is fixing that so difficult?
Well, you know, you pointed out that moneyed people or wealthy groups, interest groups, they don't even have to be in Missouri. They could be from another state, which was the case in Amendment 1. If they want to exert their influence, I mean, they can live in California, they can live in New York, they can live under a different form of government, and they want to institute their form of government over Missourians. If you've got the resources, you can file an initiative petition. And there's very detailed ways to go about that, but there are certain things that I find flawed. You only have to get signatures in 6 of 8 congressional districts. You can pay people to collect signatures. So when our listeners here are, you know, going to Walmart, I was just up at Walmart out in Chesterfield or Town and Country. They have individuals in the parking lot walking around with clipboards saying, please sign here. They're not explaining what it is. They just collect signatures. People sign it to get rid of people. And once you've collected X amount of signatures, then you can be placed on the ballot, provided your language is reasonable according to what the law requires. The Secretary of State has to put it on the ballot. So, and then the vote. You only need 50% of the population plus one individual to vote to change the Missouri Constitution. I don't think the Constitution should be changed in such a fashion. I don't have a problem with statutorial reform that way, and that's what they did with right to work. If people want to change the vote of right to work and go to the people with 50% plus one statutorily, I don't have a problem with that. But serious concerns do exist with this constitutional reform, as you pointed out.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you pointed that out. The Better Together situation is a perfect example of it. They had all the money they needed to go out and get the signatures that would have been required to completely bypass the voters of the city and county. And thank goodness that effort fell apart because people saw how hypocritical it was even before Steve Stinger got indicted, the man who would have been the king of the new unified kingdom. Fortunately, that went to the wayside, but they had the resources they needed to get that on the ballot. I would argue that even raising the threshold to the point of having to get signatures in every congressional district would help, because they couldn't avoid districts that they knew were overwhelmingly going to not support that particular referendum, correct?
I agree. And I think when you're passing a law in the state of Missouri, it's applied to all individuals in the state of Missouri. All individuals in the state of Missouri should therefore also have a say in how that law becomes a law. And if you're trying to change the Constitution, I think it should be a higher standard, not just 50% plus one. And, you know, we've had individuals that filed individual initiative petitions that almost they try to insert their name into the Missouri Constitution.
Saw that.
That's how slippery this thing can get.
Yeah. Somebody who's going to be a czar, correct? He won it. His name would have been in the Missouri Constitution as a czar. Was it over health care, or was it one of these marijuana?
I believe it was one of the marijuana things. Yeah, yeah. Okay. It's one thing to put your name on a billboard. It's another thing to put your name in the Constitution.
Hopefully that kind of drives home how ridiculous the whole process is. If I don't know if you're a betting man or not, but would you bet this is something the legislature will try to address this year?
Well, I think we've shown that the House is willing to take up difficult issues and take up difficult votes. We do know, too, that the Senate works a little bit differently than the House.
Right.
At this point, I'm an optimistic person, I guess. That's why I chose to get involved in politics, to believe that we can continue to preserve our freedoms and make a brighter day for tomorrow and keep our children with the same opportunities that we had growing up. So I hope so. And, you know, I mean, I'm certainly ears to working with a bipartisan group of people to put this across the line, but the Senate's going to have to get involved too. And it's clear that, you know, last year the Senate had some stumbling stones to cross on a few issues.
Oh, yeah.
How this plays out in an election year, your guess is as good as mine. You know, it's almost like flipping a coin.
Well, call your senator. That's what I would tell people, because last year you advanced the bill that would have required, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, a local vote. It would have avoided moving forward things like Better Together, and that made it down to the final week of the legislature and ultimately did not get a vote in the Missouri Senate. And I haven't been that disappointed about something in a long time.
Well, I had a lot of sleepless nights working on that and a lot of help from a lot of really good colleagues in the House and the Senate, for that matter, trying to push that strong belief that we had that if you're going to merge, you should acquiesce to the merger for the counties that are going to be merged and not forcing it down everybody's throat with a statewide vote. But that was teed up, ready to go. That was on the Senate calendar. It had gone through committee. And it was ready to be brought forth on the floor the very last day of session, but it didn't quite get that far.
Yeah, well, that's a shame. Well, thank you for keeping up the good fight. And, Dean, keep us informed of what's going on down there, and particularly on, the other the bill on redistricting that you're talking about.
Well, Mark, thank you for the time this morning. I appreciate it. You have a Merry Christmas.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.